Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress.
Praise God. How many folk know that Jesus is love? Kind of love that will keep you through seen and unseen dangers. We just bless God today. Let's bow all over this place. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might have life everlasting. As we come today on this very first Sunday of a new year, we thank you that your mercies are new. Great is thy faithfulness. As we share your word today, God, be it here in the sanctuary, in Baltimore, or around the world, you are God who's everywhere at the same time. Bless our time together, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. Somebody give God a praise today. When you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, your soul ought to cry out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. See, it's personal. I can't tell you what you've been through. I don't know your story, but you know your story. And every now and then in the midnight hour, that story will cause you to shed a tear. It'll cause you to give God some praise. Come on, praise him right now. Yeah. There's a word from the Lord today that comes from the Gospel of John, there in the 13th chapter, verses 34 and 35. It reads, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Verse 35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. I want to preach from the sermonic title today, A Burden of Proof. A Burden of Proof. A close friend of mine, and really a brother beloved, is an attorney. And when I need some on-the-spot, free legal advice, I'll call him up. I say, what do you think? Does that sound right to you? Or can I send you a document? I'm certainly know many people, some here in this sanctuary, who practice law. And they would tell you it's not like what you see on television. A lot of writing, a lot of research, a lot of preparation to be able to argue the law. Amen? But when you talk about burden of proof, it is really, can I say, put up or shut up. You need to really have the facts before you in order to make sure that what you are sharing is true. I've covered a couple of trials over my time, and I'm always amazed at the preparation that goes into presenting a case before a jury. Today we're going to talk about disciples. And get out of your mind right now that image we've all become familiar with, Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. We see that thing as, oh man, it wasn't but 12. It was just 12 disciples. I beg to differ. In the Gospel of Luke, the Bible talks about 72 going out. There were many people who were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ whom he sent out. Don't take a lot of money. Just take a small bag with you. Go knock on the door. Folk may not like your word. Shake the dust off your feet. But a disciple is a follower, someone who embraces the teachings of another. Now, we know that from the Gospels that Jesus went out and recruited those first disciples. They were fishermen, some rough fellas, some roughnecks. It shows you can use anybody. Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, John, and James. He made them fishers of men, called them from what they were doing to come and to follow him. You may say, now, Reverend, I love the Lord, but I'm not going to leave what I got. I got a good job with good bennies. But these guys just say, you know what? We are going to follow Jesus. Anybody feel that kind of spirit today? And no matter what is going on, I didn't say leave your job now. I said just follow Jesus. Praise God. Take him on the workplace with you. In the text today in the Gospel of John, we hear from John, that brother of James, who was sitting there with their dad Zebedee mending nets. He is the youngest disciple. He's the one that the Bible says that Jesus loved. And so really in this backdrop, this 13th chapter, these are really parting words from Jesus. He prepares to go to the cross. He wants to share with them the importance of loving each other. I don't know about you, but how timely is that? There's so much hate in our world. And we need some love. Not a new program, but some love. That folk can just love on each other without knowing who they are. Can look at the good in people and love them. And the Bible says, based on what you do, there's got to be a proof, a burden of proof, that you're really my disciples. Amen? Amen? I'm going to talk about that today, about the importance of loving and making the case. So Jesus lays out a divine case. First, there are the statement of facts. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. I started thinking about that. A new command? Why was there a need for a new commandment when they had been with him for 3 years? Didn't they know it all by then? I have a sneaky suspicion something was going on in the camp that caused him to say, listen, I want to introduce you to something new yet familiar. Ah, look at that. That I've got a new, if Jesus says anything that sounds new, you got my attention. But for he who is the creator of the heavens and the earth to say, look here, I have a new command. That maybe somebody was fighting in the camp. Maybe there was a disagreement. Maybe within that group, somebody had a little attitude, and that happened even with those disciples. A lot of tension there. You remember the mother of John and James came and said, now, Jesus, these are my boys. Being a good mother, wasn't she? I want you to make sure that when you come into your kingdom, get my boys a good seat in heaven. Oh, some of y'all have lobbied for y'all kids. Oh, yes, you have. Don't talk about her. And she was saying that I want them to be, you know, in when you come into your kingdom. There were times when Jesus would catch them arguing about something. There was something happening that there was this lack of love, so much so he says, I've got a new commandment. I've got evidence that something is not right here. I've got more than a sneaky suspicion that there's some things within this relationship that it causes me to say, I need to state the facts again. Y'all need to, he didn't say y'all, you all need to love each other. You know what? I could just stay right there because that's so important. It's so simple, but yet so powerful that we ought to love each other. I'm glad today that he loves me. Really, I'm excited that me, knowing what you know about me and what he knows about you, he still loves us with this divine love. Oh, sometimes you don't feel lovable. We all miss the mark, but the fact that this is all our faith is about is love. He says there's something going on, and I'm just so glad today I can feel this love. When folk have kicked you to the curb, when they've let you down, when they've disappointed you, have you found comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ? Nobody loves me. You better go and get on your knees and let the Holy Spirit remind you that he loves you. Did you know that today? That he loves you in such a special way. I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that, that he loves me. And then, you know, that's what John 3:16 says. For God, what? So loved the world. As messed up as it was and he is, that he sent his only, can we have Sunday school? Only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Man, that thing really means something to me. What about you? Do you sense that he really sent his son just for you, that you might have life eternal? Gospel of John a little earlier says in John 8, and you shall know the truth. I'm not kidding, y'all. Love each other, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus says, I'm just going to lay out my opening argument here and state the facts of the case. And I'm looking to make sure that y'all can prove it somewhere along the way. There was a presentation of facts there in that 34th verse. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. He says, I'm the example of what it means to love. I have loved you in a special way. I picked you. I protected you. I've healed you. I've delivered you. I've brought you out. I've set you up. Anybody serve that kind of Lord and Savior? Yeah. He says, now, really, I'm going to let you know that I am the standard. I am the model. I am what love looks like. I have loved you. So you must love one another, not kind of sort of, let me pick who I'm going to love today. I kind of like them, but I don't love them. Or I'll tolerate, oh, I'm on somebody's street today. I'll tolerate them, but really, I'm going back to 1975 and what they did to me. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. If you're going to be a real disciple, where is the burden of proof? I'm still harboring something, but I kind of sort of give them my Christian smile. Of course, I love you in Jesus' name. Amen? But he says, as I have loved you, just like I put up with you, just like I went through your mess, just like I did it, I want you to do the same thing. And so I'm presenting the facts of the case is I am the model for love. As Christians, we do that sometimes. We're flesh and we're spirit. And don't get our flesh moving. The old you will come out. And I ain't going to say it. You may as well say it. You done thought it. Oh, it's the first Sunday of the year. And I want to be a disciple. I'm trying to build my case today. Amen? And yet, he says that there's no way around this. And yet it's so simple. But yet can be so hard when he says, love your enemies. Are you kidding me? You don't know what they've done to me. Love your neighbor as your, you mean next door, trash leaving out, parking in my spot. Oh, I'm just going to talk this morning. Yeah, love that neighbor and the neighbor in you. I'm going to move on from that now. But there was so much proof, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. He said, look here, I'm just letting you know that I'm being the example here, that I've stated the facts, I presented the facts, in that look to me. You got a love issue? Come on to me. We'll try to figure it out for yourself. I laid out my case for you. But finally, there's the proof of the facts. Verse 35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Let me say it again. verse 35, your love for brother man and sister girl and that person you've been hanging with, but you kind of like them, will prove to outsiders that you're my disciples. It'll prove to folk who don't know you, say, oh, y'all Christians kind of shaky and shady. They'll say, well, there's something, and they shouldn't be treating each other okay. I'm all right with that. Amen. I've heard that the proof is in the pudding. That show me that you love me. Don't put on that face that those in our circle, let them know that the Lord is looking for evidence that you are one of his disciples. I know you got the title. I'm a church member, Christian, Bible study, but do you love one another? He kept pushing that point. Do you love that person next to you who's been assigned to you? Do you love that person on your job that gets on your last nerve? Do you love? Let me just leave that one alone. But it says that we're Christians, we can be the worst. We shoot our wounded. Oh, don't let a Christian person talk you down. That can be one of the worst times. Folk in the world say, you know what? That's my running partner. Man, you forgiven. In the church? Oh, no, Christian, no. I'll go to altar prayer with you, but I remember what you did. And so we have got to show the proof so that the world might see that folk who don't know us will say, you know what? They're kind of strange, but there's something about them. They may never get to church. You are their church. They may not pick the Bible up, but you are the Bible on the job. You are the person. They'll say something is different about them. They'll procure you. That is the proof. But they want to see how you treating each other. They want to see how two Christians are getting along. They want to see if the Christian is the head of the gossip committee at work. They want to see how you interact with someone else. And the world is looking. The world is saying, uh-huh, I knew that sooner or later they were a little phony. The world will say, yeah, she goes to Bible study, but mm-hmm. But he was saying, show me proof. Prove to the world. Now, don't get this twisted. I like what he says over in 1 John 2:15. Now, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Don't get caught in the world's trap trying to fit in, but the world is watching. Is this making sense? The world is watching you to see how you're doing with each other. But, you know, there comes a time in law and then there's a cross-examination. That's why you get a chance to question the person that the defense brought up. You say, oh, it's my turn now. Y'all seen enough TV. Let me deal with the facts of the case. No, the world is trying to cross you up. The world wants to make sure that you really believe what you believe. The world wants to make sure that you are committed. The world wants to discredit you. The world hates you. Can I say that? The world don't care about us, but yet they're watching to see how we treat each other. Wait a minute. Now you don't like me, but you're watching me to see how we treat each other. It becomes the standard and the burden of proof for our life. Beyond a reasonable doubt. That means that they're going to keep on you to make sure that you're really who you say you are. I'm okay, though, with cross-examination because I know something about the cross. Oh, my God. I remember growing up that every Easter we had an Easter program and my dad would help out with bringing a replica of the cross. It was really a part of the old clothesline, but they would put it up in the back of the church, like right over where you sit, right over there. And then we would have to look over there and sing, on a hill far away stood an old, and it was old, rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I love that old cross where the dearest and the best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies, till at last I've laid down. I will cling to the, oh, mama would like that because she would say, over here, to the old rugged cross. Amen. And I'll exchange it someday for a crown. You know, God has an exchange program. He'll take your burdens and give you blessings. Amen. Take your failures and give you more faith. There's something about that cross. And we ought to hang out at the cross every now and then. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain in the cross. In the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Can I just say that I think that there's some proof here, because Jesus proved everything on the cross. He went to that old rugged cross and he gave his life on that cross. That was enough proof for me. And every now and then when the world wants to get on your case and get after you and question you about your love, don't you know that Jesus says, objection. And I'm glad I know the judge today, because the judge said, overruled. I'm glad today that I know someone who sits on my behalf. Aren't you glad today that no matter how the world will mess the facts up, I know he's mine. I know he's kept me. I know he's led me. I know he'll bless me. I know he'll lead me. I know he'll make me. I know he'll put his hands upon me. Why? Because there's no doubt that based on how I love you, I am now a disciple. Based on how I love you, and not just on Sundays. Stating the facts. And then one day, the jury will come back with the verdict as you stand before the Lord himself. And you'll be allowed in. That you may have had a rough time in this season, but know that there's someone who's making the case just for you. Amen? Amen. That is the word of God today. It is already blessed. Come on, stand today all over this place, that you can become a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. How many folk want to follow him? How many folks say, you know what? I'm going with you. I really want to be a disciple. As you come today, just bow your heads all over this place and also by way of streaming. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we've signed up to become a disciple. Yes, Lord. But in the fine print, you remind us that just like you loved us, we are to love each other. Yes, that's beyond how I feel about you and you feel about me. And you might have the knife in my back already, but I still love you. I'm aware, but I'm called to love you in spite of yourself. I pray even now, God, that you might build up our spiritual immune system, that we can love others the way you've taught us. Maybe someone has come today in this place and they have never accepted the love of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God sent his son, love. His son died, Jesus, love. He rose again because of love. And he sits at the right hand of his Father, making intercession for the saints. That sounds like love. If you've come today as those heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you in spite of you, in spite of me. Give him your heart today. Fall in love with Jesus. Something about that today. Father, I pray even now in the name of Jesus, if someone has come and they've never accepted you, that today might be their day to really feel the rush of love that you sent by way of Christ. We believe it. We count it done today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God a praise today.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired, of course by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new, and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.